According to Luke. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." And he laid his hand on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, he said to the crowd in reply, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." And Lord said to him in reply, "Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath day from this bondage?" And when he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes in the Gospels, you know, our Lord did what we call an exorcism, cast out a devils from a person. In other times, as such as in this morning's Gospel, he teaches us that the result of the original sin is suffering caused by the devil. In one sense, healing this woman is overcoming the devil himself and what he causes and has caused. There was a documentary recently on BBC, and it was entitled Behind Closed Doors. I lived with a priest, Father Vito Puppin. Actually, he escaped from Dachau. And he lived under both the communist and under the National Socialist government, the Nazis. And I said to him, I said, Father, in your opinion, which was worse, so to speak? Without any hesitation, he said, oh my God, to live under the communist. It was worse. And we don't get the picture often. We are so aware of the Holocaust, but the reality is that Stalin, you remember the famous saying, he said, if you kill one person, it's a tragedy. If you kill a million people, it's a statistic. No one reacts. So he said, go out and kill a million. And he killed more than a million. In his documentary, Behind Closed Doors, it's 60, 70 years after the events, but they've done an incredible study of who was involved, what plans were made behind the closed doors, and what really did take place. And the slaughter that took place of the Ukrainians, the Hungarians, the Polish, of the people, and even Russians. The incredible slaughter that took place under the communist. It's mind-boggling, right? Of course, we know the slaughter that took place under Hitler and the Nazis. But when you see the full picture of it, and you see the decisions and who was involved in it behind the closed doors and what they didn't let the people know, it takes us 60 to 70 years after the event to really know the enormity of the evil that took place. But you know, today we live with an incredible, I call the humane Holocaust, and there's closed doors. And we should not wait 50 or 60 years to open those doors so people can see the reality of what took place and is taking place. And so this morning what we are doing, we're going out to open the doors, to let the light shine in, that people can understand, what are we talking about? Let's complete the sentence, a person's right to choose what? And what is taking place? People don't want to see it. They run from the reality. Well, the reality is actually kept from them. It's all painted in nice ways that it seems acceptable. But when you go out there, of course, if you were at the time of the Hitler or Stalin and you were pointing out to people what was going on, you know your life would be at risk. Today it's not quite at risk, but it is, you are painted as some type of a problem, a terrorist, and mind your own business. What are you doing? And so what we do is, our presence is opening up the doors today, that people can see and understand what's happening. But we do it for two reasons. To let the light in on this whole world of darkness and death, but also to let those who are inside to see the light, that they may leave from that darkness and come to the light. And so we go not simply to indicate to the world what is happening, we go for the sake of the people who are involved and enslaved in this darkness behind the closed doors. It's interesting, in this morning's reading, we're told that we are children of God, we see the Spirit of God, and that we will be united with Christ only if we now suffer with Him. Only if we suffer with Him, then we will be glorified with Him. That's what St. Paul said to us this morning. You know, this Mass that we're about to offer would actually be meaningless if it was not preceded by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If He was not a victim, this would be meaningless. You know, if you read the letter to the Hebrews, it's all about the priesthood and the sacrifice of Christ. And the one word that's not mentioned in that letter to the Hebrews is the word Eucharist. Can't find it. Because objectively speaking, God redeemed the world by his death and resurrection, even if he didn't institute the Eucharist. But the Eucharist is what? It's making present that reality, that victimhood of Jesus Christ, for us, so that we can join with Christ in this new praise of God and offering our praise and worship to God. But it would be meaningless if he had not suffered. It would be meaningless if there wasn't really a victim and a resurrection that we're making sacramentally present in this Eucharist. The other side of the coin, of course, is that if we offer this Mass and we are not victims with Christ, if we do not live this Mass, see, our Lord already completed the suffering. He was a victim. He did his job. But we who offer the Mass, our work is not complete. It becomes complete if we live the Mass. We have to be victims with Christ. We have to go out and suffer with Christ. We have to do what he did. Then this Mass becomes pleasing. So obviously the Mass doesn't end here. When you go out the doors, it only begins. And what you do when you leave the doors of this church, that's what makes this Mass pleasing to God. If there is a disconnect between the ritual and your life, Mass is meaningless. This Mass would be meaningless if Jesus had not died, wasn't a victim and rose from the dead. It'd be meaningless. What were you doing? It's an empty offering. And in truth, it'd be an empty offering to God on our part if we are not victims with Christ. But if we suffer with Jesus, we will be glorified. But we have received the Spirit of God. We are God's adopted children. And so what we find in this great mystery of life is that the work of Jesus, he hands it on to us. As the Father sent me, I send you now. I send the Holy Spirit. He will live with me. But you must continue my work. Or as I mentioned last night, I will do the work through you. The risen Christ wants to go to where it is darkness, where people are trapped behind the closed doors. He wants to free them. And so when we go this morning, we go with and in Christ. Christ comes to us. He lives within us. And then we bring Jesus. We bring Jesus to those who are behind the closed doors, the unborn children. We bring Jesus to the people who are doing this, working in these camps, working in these death chambers. Because God loves them. He wants to be free, and they'll never be free unless we open the doors that they can see the light outside, that they can see the love of Christ, that they can be drawn to, my God, what am I doing? And there's reason for hope, because God is now present to me as Savior and Redeemer. And so we have the great honor this morning to live this Mass. We have the great honor this morning to go where Jesus wants to go today. Okay, here in Seattle, where does he want to go? He wants to go to Calvary. He wants to go where it's midnight at midday. He wants to go where those people who are behind the doors are living in darkness, where tremendous evil is taking place. So we open up the doors by our presence that people may know, stop the evil. Stop the slaughter of God's precious infants. Stop hurting the mothers. Stop hurting the fathers. Free those people involved in this absolute darkness and give them hope, because we bring Jesus Christ to them. We bring the presence of God. And when we do that, we ourselves will ultimately be glorified. And we take very serious that our Lord said, I have sent the Holy Spirit upon you. You are now God's children. And now you have to continue the work of my Father. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you, but you do not go alone. I go with, through, and in you. You bring Jesus Christ to the streets of Seattle, and you let God take over. And you do that, and you live the Mass, and people will see the light, the doors will be opened, and ultimately, God willing, we'll all be glorified.